Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, folks, I have a question. I'm going to time you to see how quickly you can answer it. Can the President of the United States, or any government official for that matter, legally use drones to attack and kill American citizens without due process of law? Namely, the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments to the Constitution. Okay, now that's the question. Now I'll hit my... Wait, hold on. Oh, man. You already answered the question before I even had a chance to hit my time. In fact, you answered the question before I finished asking it. Okay, so here, let me give you another question. Why did it take the president more than 13 hours to respond to that question when it was put to him by Rand Paul? 13 hours, folks. Almost. Actually, longer than that. You heard about the filibuster? Surely. No. One or two of you have, you've heard about it, but you don't know much. Okay, let me give you some background on this. Senator Rand Paul decided to filibuster the confirmation vote on John Brennan for the position of CIA chief until Obama gave him a clear, unequivocal answer to the question, does the president have the authority to execute an American on American soil who is deemed by him to be guilty of high crimes without affording that citizen the protections of the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments to the Constitution? In fact, the whole 13-hour filibuster thing was a sort of high noon face-down between gunslingers with Obama and Rand facing off. Now, this issue, by the way, was raised long ago. We can start back in December of 2012, really much sooner than that. But we'll just pick it up at the confirmation hearings of John Brennan for CIA director. On February 15, Lee Doran asked the president alleged whether he, quote, claims the authority to kill a U.S. citizen suspected of being associated with Al-Qaeda or associated forces on U.S. soil, end quote. Now here's Obama's answer, quote, well, first of all, there has never been a drone used on an American citizen on American soil. We respect and have a whole bunch of safeguards in terms of how we conduct counterterrorism operations outside the United States. The rules outside of the United States are going to be different than the rules inside the United States, in part because our capacity, for example, to capture a terrorist inside the United States is very different than in the foothills or mountains of Afghanistan and Pakistan. What I think is absolutely true is that it is not sufficient for citizens to just take my word for it that we're doing the right thing, end quote. Now, folks, aside from the grating grammar butchering that characterizes the speech of our commander-in-chief when off prompter, you will notice two things. First, you will notice that he did not answer the question. And second, you'll notice that he used his famous Obama sleight of tongue to evade the question. The astute brain massage-trained observer no doubt noticed when he ended his answer by saying something he knew would be attractive to his hearers, something that would connect them to him, something he knew would bring them onto his side, or at least powerfully suggest that he was on their side. When he said, quote, what I think is absolutely true is that it is not sufficient for citizens to just take my word for it that we're doing the right thing, end quote. Now, who would disagree with that? You know, doesn't it sound reasonable and like he understands why we have questions about his use of drones, you know, that he sympathizes with it? In fact, he's on our side, man. I mean, he comes to our side, looks back at him and says, hey, of course you're not going to just take my word for it. And this usually has its intended effect, and that is to disarm the opposition. So the first part of his answer was misdirection, and the last part was simulation. And, you know, he's a master of sleight of tongue. And the uneducated, the not so bright, the 80% of our kids who graduated from high school illiterate, oh my, the bobbleheads whose opinion bounces in response to every noodle-headed notion out there, so long as it makes them look like or feel like they fit in, that they're with it. And then those who don't think, much less think critically, and who think the word critically means to be critical and don't know it means to think analytically, or some would say with reflective reasoning, and who don't understand analysis or reflective reasoning. So you have to explain it means to exercise yourself in deep thought, examining the issue so as to note its various parts and how those parts connect together. provide some insight and explanation on reality. Oh man, wow, playing with you. While simple common sense saves most of us from being duped by these rascals, more and more Americans are susceptible to Obama speak or to being tricked by Obama's sleight of tongue show. And so when he's asked a direct question, like, do you believe you have the authority to send drones after American citizens on American soil? He answers, there has never been a drone used against an American citizen on American soil. And they think Obama's answered the question. God help us. But that wasn't the question, Mr. President alleged. And he offers a response to the question that does not actually answer the question. And he then proceeds to offer reassurances with, you know, don't worry, you're safe. It's okay. Everything's fine. And then for those who still have lingering questions and doubts, he joins them in their question, sides with them, then says, hey, man, good night. It's not enough for people to simply be asked to just trust that we're doing the right thing. A question, by the way, he had already been asked several times. He was right then and there refusing to release all of the 11 Office of Legal Counsel opinions prepared for him by his Justice Department, providing legal justification for doing exactly that. Yeah, answering the question, does he have the constitutional authority to use drones on American citizens on American soil? The concern is, you see, that Obama believes he has the constitutional authority to suspend constitutional protections of the Bill of Rights if he deems an American citizen to be a threat to national security. And since he will not give a direct answer to that question, at least some senators like Rand Paul want to see all of the 11 Justice Department documents prepared to answer this question, but he has only released 4 of those 11. And we are supposed to just trust that the others don't have something in them we should know about? Yet in that interview, he sounded like he totally understood the need for full disclosure. In fact, he often talks about the need for transparency and full disclosure. He talks about it as if it's a core value deep in his soul. But no president in my lifetime has been more reluctant to give disclosure, not only about what he's doing in the office of presidency, but about his life. And the reason he is always talking about how much he values the principle of full disclosure and transparency is because, as crazy as this will seem to common sense people like you, it actually does provide a blind. You know why? Because most people today only need to hear that your intentions are good and that your intentions are in agreement with their values. And then they go about their business content. Everything's okay. You know, while these thieves go about robbing our rights from us. And this is what you need to understand. Obama has been asked about this several times and he never answers the question. He dodges the question by offering reassurances. He throws you off his trail by sounding like he's on your side, that he agrees with your concern, but then he acts in direct contradiction to what he is saying, and no one wants to bother looking into that because, you know, after all, he's our first black president. Yeah, he hides all this behind the color of his skin, which has secured for him a gaggle of reporters who have constructed a facade of credibility for his presidency, and who are dedicated to maintain that facade at all costs, even at the cost of their credibility. All right, now, during the Senate hearings on Obama's pick for CIA chief, a follow-up to this question was put to Mr. Brennan on February 27. Brennan was asked whether the White House could carry out drone strikes on American soil. He replied, quote, "This administration has not carried out drone strikes inside the United States and has no intention of doing so," end quote. Practically a quote of Obama's answer, isn't it? But it's a non-answer because that wasn't the question. It's what you call a non sequitur, a conclusion or statement that does not logically follow from the previous argument or statement in this case, a response that does not answer the question. Mr. Brennan, I did not ask you if the administration has carried out drone strikes. I did not ask you if you knew of any intentions to do so. I asked you whether you believed the administration has the legitimate power, the authority to do so. Why can't we get an answer from this crowd? You tell me. What does it mean when someone avoids answering a question? It always means the same thing. They're hiding something. Well, anyway, this matter was heating up. Senator Rand Paul wasn't buying it. Senator McCain, however, he didn't seem to have a problem with any of this. From what I heard McCain say about this on the Senate floor, I would guess that if you asked McCain, he would tell you, what nonsense. Of course the government isn't going to send drones after American citizens and kill them in coffee shops and stuff. What nonsense. What shame on you, Rand, for even suggesting such a thing. And I answer the senator, why, sir, will not the president answer the simple question? In fact, if you listen closely to McCain's temper tantrum on the Senate floor, chastising Rand for standing up to this White House bully and demanding an answer to our question about this, you will notice that McCain is himself a bit confused on the matter. In one moment, he argues for the presidential power to use fatal force to attack Americans if they are perceived to be a posed threat to national security. And then he seems to get a bit nervous about what he just said and starts talking about the need to talk this out and settle some things and so forth. But Senator Rand ought not to be raising the specter of a rogue administration sending out drones to hunt down and kill his political opponents who are arbitrarily placed by him on his kill list. Have you no sense of history, Mr. McCain? That is exactly the right question. That, my friend, is the question. What's wrong with these people? It's a simple question. Answer it. So in order to get Obama to answer the question, Rand threatened to filibuster the nomination of John Brennan, and then receiving no response from the White House to his threat, at least not a response that actually answered the question, you know, that would put Obama on record responding to that vital question. Okay, Rand followed through on his threat. Even then, it took 13 hours of nonstop soliloquy. Rand holding the floor, talking his voice perched, reminiscent of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, while Obama held firm, lips taut, chin high, looking down his royal nose at that puny little senator, and no doubt hoping and counting on those Weasley Republicans to rally around Obama on his side and shame the poor senator into yielding. But Rand held firm, wouldn't yield, and finally somebody was able to make Obama come clean. And it took several months, a showdown on the Senate floor, and 13 hours to get a simple, direct answer from this president to a simple, clear question. And now, who can really trust his answer with all that obfuscation and equivocation behind it? Well, we can hope that the reason it took so long for the president to give us an answer is, well, you know, he is a very busy man. After all, he has important things to take care of. I mean, maybe he was working out his golf swing, you know, practicing some of the tips he got from Tiger during his $7 million vacation. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Pastor that doesn't compromise. You've got to come to church on Easter Sunday. You'll love it.
What I like about Lighthouse Baptist Church is that the Word of God is taught, and I want to invite all my friends to come hear the services on Easter Sunday.
The preaching is hot, and the pastor preaches in season and out of season. Come to Easter services here at Lighthouse Baptist Church.
I love the spirit here. I love how I could come here, and it's a family, and I want to invite you to come to the Easter service at Lighthouse Baptist Church.
I love my church because it's an opportunity for me to serve in the ministry. I love that I can have someone to go to if I need anything, and I greatly encourage you to come for our Easter service. I love Lighthouse Baptist Church.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Bloomberg, you know, that's New York's mayor, has decided that no one in his city can buy more than a 16-ounce cup of soda. I mean, New Yorkers were getting too fat, and he has an image to maintain, right? And after all, it's better for the health of his subjects. I mean, if even one person is made a pound or two thinner because of this, hey, It's worth the offset and loss of liberty, eh? Encouraged by his success at intruding into the personal choices of his subjects, and perhaps becoming somewhat intoxicated by his newfound power to control the lives of others for their own good, you know, he decided to make a law against listening to music too loudly. So let's get this straight. New Yorkers seem to be going for this, by the way. I mean, you don't find too much protest, no revolting in the streets. Interesting. I'm quickly losing respect for New Yorkers, let me tell you. But then, in truth, many New Yorkers were king's men before. And they opposed the revolution anyway, so maybe that sort of panty waist yield to tyranny sort of spirit is reasserting itself in that state. Can you believe this? New Yorkers are going along with this business of telling them what size soda they can buy and how loudly they can listen to their music, all in the name of what's good for you, you know. Dictator Bloomberg, Daddy Bloom, has decreed no more 32-ounce sodas for you, bud. And I'll tell you how loudly you can listen to your music because you're too stupid. Like a dumb beast, like an animal, kept in a zoo, kept in my zoo. He's turning New York into a zoo. And you can't be trusted with such important decisions, so I'm going to make them for you. The other day, I heard an interview on our local station here with Ben Hayes. And hey, Ben, how you doing? Anyway, it was a very interesting interview with this organization that wants us to stop using the R word, yeah, especially around persons who might be mentally handicapped. They want to replace it with another word, an R word, that's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I'm being somewhat facetious with this. I actually agree with it. I agree with it 100%. Ask anyone who knows me, they'll tell you I don't like picking on weaker people or putting people down for their inadequacies or belittling people for handicaps and so forth. I consider such behavior bullying. I despise bullying behavior. And I'll tell you something else. I agree that raising the social consciousness of a community is a good way to encourage a change in behavior. It's what I do every day of my life. I think the social conscience promotions we hear, very regularly, encouraging us, for example, not to text and drive, or reminding us of the importance of not driving with a buzz. You know, buzz driving is drunk driving. Apparently, our general society agrees that social conscience appeals and promotions of this kind are effective in motivating good behavior. So here's what we've got. We've got a liberal mayor in New York who thinks it's perfectly consistent with his notions of liberty to use the rule of law to influence personal behaviors that he considers unhealthy. And we have a near universal agreement that appealing to the social conscience of a community is, after all, an effective way to discourage behaviors that are harmful or that we would agree are dangerous or undesirable. Isn't that interesting? I wonder how many New Yorkers would rise up in protest if the mayor decided to enact a law against homosexual behavior. Now, the mayor reasons thusly. Too many New Yorkers are fat. Soda makes people fat. So I'll make a law that reduces the amount of soda someone can buy in hopes this will reduce the amount of soda people drink overall. Because, you know, he knows, someone could just buy 2 16-ounce drinks at the movie house if they really wanted to go 32. But he figures his law will reduce the amount of soda people drink overall. And so, you see, the law is going to be effective that way. So how about this? 3 million of our teens contract a sexually transmitted disease every year. Now, I don't know how many of these teens live in New York, but I think we can guess that a significant percentage of these teenagers live in his city. And we know we're not going to eliminate all promiscuity between teens. Of course not. I mean, even in the days of the Puritans, we had our scarlet letter queens. So we know that no law is going to eliminate all sexual promiscuity any more than any law is going to eliminate all excessive soda drinking. You following this? Now, how about we pass some laws that interfere with teens having sex before they get married? Because that's the surefire way to stop this problem. I mean, it'll just totally eliminate it. You know? Maybe there could be some laws that maybe we could pass a law that said, here you go. You'll love this one. How about a law that requires all unmarried teens to be chaperoned? Oh, yeah. And by the way, that is the law I preached to our kids and insisted for my boy and expect to be enforced with my grandchildren. Would that eliminate all sexual promiscuity between teens? Well, no. But neither will laws against 32-ounce cups of soda eliminate all soda abuse. I wonder how far it would go in New York. I wonder if the king's men in New York would then get all riled up, if the MSM would jump on that one and start howling about interfering with personal rights and chastise him to mind his own business. Right? But far more damage is done every year to our kids because of promiscuity than soda abuse. And what about the old sodomy laws? They did not eliminate that unhealthy behavior. Of course, they have to be enforced to have any effect at all. But even when those laws were enforced, they did not eliminate the behavior. In fact, no law eliminates the behavior it targets. It is possible, however, that the presence of the law itself sent a statement to the community that it was unacceptable behavior, and that probably had some effect on keeping it from becoming a generally accepted thing. And just as Bloomberg's law against soda sends a strong... You see what I'm trying to say here? And that would be good for New Yorkers, wouldn't it? We all know the lifespan of gay men is half the normal population, with about 2 to 3% of the population being homosexual, and yet something like, what, I think it's 61, 57%, I forget the number, they move around a little bit, of all AIDS cases are MSM, that's men who have sex with men. Or to put it another way, the AIDS rate among MSM, or men who have sex with men, homosexuals, is 50 times higher than of all other groups put together. And don't give me that, if we would just let them marry, they would we could reduce this. Have you noticed that that is never used as an argument to encourage gay marriage? And the reason is, we know it doesn't reduce the incidence of AIDS. And in fact, some studies show otherwise. Quote, the journal AIDS reported that men involved in a relationship engage in, you know, that stuff, with greater frequency than those without a steady partner, end quote. All right, which would increase the incidence of AIDS among them. Another study showed that, quote, most unsafe sex acts among homosexuals occur in steady relationships, end quote. Eh? We know that HPV is almost universal among homosexuals. So, therefore, it stands to reason that if a law prohibiting 32-ounce sodas is good because it encourages a healthy life choice, then perhaps sodomy laws can have some effect in saving lives and encouraging healthy life choices. You think? And encouraging marriage only for heterosexuals, that might save some lives, friend. And if you call and say, so, you agree with Bloomberg's use of law to control how much soda people drink? All I can say is, I don't know what to say for folks like that. And we get them. The point, you just want to have an argument. The point is the weird twisting and perversion of values that's going on in our country, where we are constructing a value system that would support the asinine idea that laws regulating how much soda people can buy are okay because it encourages healthy life choices, yet we are throwing out sodomy laws because they interfere with personal privacy and freedom. Are you able to even get my point? What about the idea of using social conscience promotions through radio ads and other means to go on a campaign for abstinence until married among our youth? To encourage the undefiled marriage bed model, you know? The two-parent mom and dad model that everyone with sense knows is both natural and best for our kids and for society. Why not promote it? Why not campaign for that? Of course, we know it won't eliminate all undesirable behavior. But we know that is not the criteria, is it? The criteria is that if it helps one kid stay clean and clear of STDs, then it's worth it, right? Come on, let's get honest. And finally, for this preacher's daughter's reality show that they're beginning to, that they're starting to promote, and to our neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Perry, yes, God does forgive. And yes, certainly, even preachers' daughters who live in open sin and sleep around with so many different guys, well, she doesn't even know who is the sperm donor of her recently birthed child. How sad. And I thank you for standing by her and helping her. I'm relieved she didn't add murder to her sins and kill that precious baby. I mean, it wasn't the baby's fault. But no, Mrs. Perry, it's not okay. It's shameful behavior. And I sure hope your reality show sends the right message to our kids and gives proper honor to the thousands of young ladies I know who are preachers' daughters who never behave like yours did. Well, folks, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and you call and let me know if you see that they are on. You may call me at 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. You can say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree, and just hang up or leave a message. I always listen carefully to the response I get to my radio show, whether you believe that or not, I really do. You can write me by email, and to do that, go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, all one word, lowercase, you know the drill. Click on the Contact Us button and follow the prompts. This is a great way for my podcasters to make contact with the Brain Masseur. So call me today or email me today. Lights on or lights off. I want to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct. And even more shocking, He is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Well, I just can't believe that everybody in Santa Maria doesn't come to Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's an amazing place with a bunch of amazing people. You need to come on Easter.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because this is probably the only place in town where you can come and find out what salvation really is all about. So come on Easter Sunday and find out what Easter's celebrated for.
I love this church because the truth is preached here without compromise and always with conviction. I invite everybody to come at Easter Sunday.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because the minute I walk in here, I feel all the love. I would like to invite you to come to church on Easter Sunday.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because this is where you can get the meat of the Word of God. I'd like to invite everybody that's listening to come for Easter Sunday.
Come join us on Easter Sunday.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because the Word of God is preached and taught faithfully without adding anything to it or omitting anything from it, and that's important to me.
Truth is preached here, and I'd like everybody to come and join us in the work that God has called us to do.
Yes, sir. I love this church because it's a place where you can come and grow and, you know, and be taught the Word of God and be fed and it's a place, you know, where you're going to be loved.
Well, I just can't believe that everybody in Santa Maria doesn't come to Lighthouse Baptist Church. Everybody in Santa Maria, but everybody in the state. It's an amazing place with a bunch of amazing people.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because the whole truth is preached here. Pastor does not omit things that are not popular with the rest of the world. My entire family is growing, and I invite everyone out there listening to come to our Easter Sunday service.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because everyone's welcoming and open, and we're like one family that hears the truth. So I invite everyone to come on Easter Sunday.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because I've been coming here over 10 years, and just the faithfulness and the truth that's preached here, the reverence for God's Word, and I've been retooled as a person through the ministry here.
This is a church that I got saved, and I thought I knew God before, but this is the place that I met God, and thank to the pastor that he preaches the Word of God strong and without compromise.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.